Hallelujah. I couldn't believe, Cindy, did you and the group get together and practice this new song? What about that, guys? I mean, it sounded like they've been playing that song for about a year. That's Holy Ghost there, right? That's the streams of life flowing out of these guys. The Lord says, I'm the vine and you're the branches. I'm the vine and you're the branches. He says, I'm the river and you're the tributaries. My water of life flows through you. Doesn't it, River? This little guy here, his name is River. And I'll tell you something, the river of life flowing from him. It doesn't make any difference how young you are or how old you are. It depends on where your heart is. That kid's got a heart for the Lord. And the river of God flows through him. That's the reason why when he was born, prophetically, he didn't know it. Julie probably didn't realize it at the time, but he had Julie name that boy River. I don't know anybody by that name other than him. That makes you special, buddy. Hi, Chloe. Yeah, the whole family is. The whole family is. Anyway, I'm going to talk to you about rivers this morning. Because I don't know how long ago it was, a month or whatever. And the Lord said, go to the river. Flow with the river. I knew he spoke it to me. You know, you can even be watching television and hear a word from the Lord. It doesn't make any difference where you're at, how noisy it is. It's where's your heart? Where's your heart? If it's turned toward Him, you'll receive. You'll receive. The river will bubble up inside of you. The river of life, which is what He is. He is the river of life. And in Genesis 1:2, somewhere it says that the river flowed out from under the temple through the garden of it, the Garden of Eden. And it went four ways. There was four rivers. I didn't research all this. As a matter of fact, that particular statement that I just made was it was amplified from a brother, a prophet, I believe, of the Lord. Seems to be a good man. Debbie Brown told Marge, I think, about the Father's Heart Ministry or something like that, or she shared something with Marge a few weeks ago. And Debbie didn't know it, but she had poured a cup of water on Marge because that was a river flowing out of Debbie. And then Marge got on the internet and she was, I guess, watching this guy on the Father's Heart. And there happened to be a book there called The Rivers of God. And Marge and I have been talking to Marge for probably a couple of weeks prior about the rivers of God. God kept laying the rivers on my heart. And so she went ahead, unbeknownst to me, and she ordered this book called The Rivers of God. And it just really helped and brought a lot of things into perspective for me. So that cup of water that Debbie poured into Marge, Marge took and poured that cup onto me. See how God works? Debbie probably didn't think that was a big deal. But the water of life flowed out of her like a fountain. And it was life to Marge, stuck with Marge in her spirit, and she went ahead and got that particular book. And in there, this man talks a great deal, and I'm not going to belabor this, but it's a wonderful book that he wrote on the rivers of God. And you know, I never thought about this. Jesus said, "Amen. Any man who believeth in me, out of his bellies shall flow rivers of water." Why didn't he say, out of your belly will flow a river of water? Because when the river flows out of the Garden of Eden inside of you, it flows into four corners of the earth. In other words, four, I think, is the number of earth, is it, Oscar? In other words, it covers four square. Actually, I think it's the height, the depth, the breadth, and the length of the love of God is what's really being revealed. But the first river was Pishon, and it meant increase. So the moment that you believe on Jesus Christ, that river starts flowing. That first river, Pishon, starts flowing out from under the temple and into your Garden of Eden. You're the garden of God. That gives us another responsibility, to tend our garden. To tend our garden. But the first river was a river of increase. And so whenever you come into Christ, he starts immediately increasing you in the knowledge of him, into the knowledge of him. That's the first river. Now, I'm not going to go, and I didn't really study in any depth on the rivers, but I found that interesting that the first river is increase. The definition of that word, Pishon, means increase. And that's exactly what happened in my life and in your life. The day that you accepted Jesus Christ, your life became increased. Hopefully the joy increased in you. Because Scripture says in Ezekiel 45, excuse me, not there. It's Psalms 46. And it says, there is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy place of the tabernacle of the Most High. Where's the holy place of the tabernacle of the Most High? It says, God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved, Julie. God shall help her just at the break of dawn. The nations rage and kingdoms were moved. He utters his voice and the earth melts. The earth melts. And that's what the Lord's been saying to me, because I've been through the last couple of weeks. It's been pretty challenging. I'm not going to get off on a woe is me trip and have sympathy on me, because it's like I told Mars. I said, the last couple of weeks has been like the guy that wrote the book Tale of Two Cities. You know, and she says, well, how you doing, honey? I say, well, it's the best of times and it's the worst of times. Because I was telling Oscar, when I go back in my secret place, back in the bedroom on the other side of the house to commune with God and to meditate on the Lord, I had scriptures in one hand, I had a bucket in the other. And it was reading scriptures, and then it was going back to the scriptures. And it was the Lord was saying, that's good, because I want you to make this thing work for you instead of work against you. There's so many things that come against us in our life. So many challenges, so much pressure. I mean, if it isn't a physical disability, is it maybe a financial disability, financial shortfall, it might be mental, your mind just bugging the you-know-what out of you. And the Lord says, go to the river. Go to the river. Don't focus on these problems. Now, I realize this is much easier said than done, because I've been practicing focusing on the Lord for a lot of years. And every time I'm challenged with something, and generally it's all controlled by a spirit of fear. There's a spirit of fear behind anxiety, behind all this. And the Lord is saying, whenever these things attack you, son, focus on me. Go to the river. And some weeks back, he gave me a little poem, and it says, go with the river, the spirit inside of you. Flow in the river, for the river knows from whence it flows. The river knows from whence it flows. The river knows just where to go, how to lead you, how to guide you, out of whatever problem it is, physical, financial, mental, whatever the problem is, the river knows just where to go. Follow the river. For you, if you flow with the river within, you will have my strength, my power, and my might, and it will keep you from the power of the night. confusion, darkness, and fear. And as you flow with the river within, how do I flow with this river within? I've been chewing on this poem for weeks, and the Lord said, simply agree with me. Just agree with me. It's not that complicated. The grace is already there. It's already there. And I've given you the faith that can move mountains. But that faith isn't activated until you agree with me, until you turn to me, until you get in the river. Till you get in the river, Ezekiel said, I saw the river coming out from under the door. Well, who's the door? Jesus Christ said, I'm the door. Ezekiel said, I saw that water coming out from under the door. And every time you turn to the door, every time you turn to the Lord, every time you turn to the river, he is the river. All of a sudden, the Spirit starts flowing. The water is symbolic of the Spirit of Christ that's in you. Every time you turn to the Lord, when you have a problem, whatever it is, you turn to the Lord, and the Spirit will start coming out from under the door. And the longer you meditate on the Lord, the waters get up to your ankles. Then it gets up to your waist. Then it becomes so deep that you have to swim in it. Well, I think one of the second rivers was Gihon, G-I-H-O-N. And I think that that represented, and I'm not sure, you could call me down on this, but I know one of the rivers represented gushing. That's the reason why a lot of times when I come up here, I got so much gushing inside of me. I just want to get on with it. You know, when I come up here, it's like, I'm the vine and they're the branches, he says, and I'm the stream and you're the tributaries. You're the water off the stream. Now, what happens if the river isn't flowing? Ezekiel talked about that. He said, wherever the waters flows, whenever your attention is toward the Lord, it brings life, it brings health, it brings peace, because that is what the kingdom of God is. It's righteousness, joy, and peace in the river, in the Holy Spirit. The river is the Spirit of the Lord. Stay in the river. And he says, and as you flow, agree and abide. There's another thing the Lord spoke to me. If you abide in me, you can ask whatsoever you will. It's all been provided for you, but you've got to lay hold of the promises of God. You've got to lay hold of the promises of God. I was sharing back in Sunday school this morning, and I understand Debbie said the same thing. We're flowing in the river here, girl, Debbie Brown. You know, it's like that TV commercial where those two guys are standing at the mailbox, and one guy says, man, I'm having all kinds of problems with my roof. My roof's leaking and all that. And the neighbor says, well, I went ahead and got this roofing company. They did a great job for me. He says, call the roofing company, set up a time and a place for me, and give me a call back. And I think sometimes, you know, did you see that commercial? I think sometimes that's the way it is with us and the Lord. You know, Lord, I've got this problem. And the Lord speaks to our heart. And he says, this is how to resolve it. We go, no, let me tell you. Let me tell you how to solve the problem. Let me counsel you, Lord. So he says, as you flow and agree and abide with the river within, it will keep you safe from the deceitfulness of sin. Sin is simply missing the mark. I know all kind of weird thoughts could go through your mind when you talk about sinning, but it's simply missing the mark. You're just not walking in the glory that God's called you to walk in. You're just not walking and magnifying the Lord. We sang that song, tonight about how we magnify the Lord. And magnifying the Lord is more than coming to church on Sunday and raising your hands. It's really more than just coming to church and putting some money in a collection plate and raising your hands. Magnify him is when we take on his nature, when we stay in the stream of life and we start manifesting his life. Philippians, I read this just this morning, where Paul says, now remember what you have learned, what you've been taught, what you've heard, and seen in me. Wow. Can you stand there and say to your brother and sister, Everything you've learned and taught, just look at me, you'll see it. Wow. Man, I'll tell you, I read that verse, and it was like I took another nail in my hand. Because I can't say, honestly, I can teach you, I can tell you, I can share my testimony with you, but I don't know if I'm ready to say, follow me as I follow Christ. Look at me and you'll see Jesus. I have my moments, just like all of you do, but as far as day-to-day walking it out, when I think of the things that come out of my mouth, the things that I say about people, my judgmental attitudes and things like this, that's not observing Christ in you, the hope of glory. That's observing your evil twin. There is an evil twin. He's dead. We're not sinners. We're not sinners anymore because Jesus paid the price on Calvary for our sins. Kids, understand that. If you don't hear anything in this place this morning, understand that when he died on the cross, he took care of all your sins, the ones you did yesterday, and even the ones that you're going to commit. I'm not encouraging you to commit any sins, but there's a battle, there's a warfare going on in your soul that you want to do what you damn well please. And God gets that. He understands that. You can't disappoint him because he knows what you're going to do tomorrow before you even do it. He's already in your tomorrows. He's already there before you get there. He knows. But his blood paid the price for all of your sins. All of it. And if you fall and just go to him and say, hey, it's a boo-boo. I know I screwed up. I'm sorry. Lord will pat you on the head and say, what'd you do? I never even paid that close attention because I cast your sins as far as the east is from the west, and I remember them no more. I don't even remember them. Every time you go and you want to say, well, you saw me 2 weeks ago what I did. Lord goes, I'm sorry. My memory just fails me. I just don't keep count of that stuff because I paid for that on Calvary. Why do you keep count? Why do you feel condemned? Why do you get emotional about, oh, gee, I shouldn't have done that? I mean, okay, maybe you shouldn't have done it, but let's move on in the river. Let's move on in the river. It will keep you, the river will keep you safe from the deceitfulness of sin. Jesus said, out of your bellies will flow rivers of living water. Why do you say belly? Because that's where our appetites are. That's where man, that's where humanity's appetites are. What is it that you crave? What is it that you love? When you get up in the morning, you say, praise God, let's go get them, Lord. I'm going to be looking for you on every turn. I know you're with me. I know you've gone before me. I know you're my rear guard. Have you turned to him? Because when you turn to him, all you have to do is turn your soul to him and you become one with him because you're spirit, soul, and body. And Christ is in your spirit. The battle is in your soul with your mind. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. I have been so heavy laden, I guess is the word. The people, it just seems like the people I met in the last month, I mean, everywhere you turn, somebody's dying or someone's got terminal cancer or somebody's got financial problems or somebody. And I go, oh, my God, Lord, this is where this message came from. I was sitting in the room one night and I said, oh, my God, Lord, what are you going to do about this? I've already done it. I got to get my rivers flowing. I got to get my streams gone. But you can't flow until you know. You can't flow until you know. Know what? Know him. Know all the Bible? No. Know him. Well, I don't know the scriptures as well as you, Brother Jim. It doesn't make any difference. You could have a whole lot more of Christ formed in you than what I've got formed in me. Because sometimes if you have great knowledge of the scriptures, it puffs you up. God has a way of taking care of that. But we have to kind of guard against that. And the poem went on, and it says, it will keep you safe from the deceitfulness of sins. And there are no valleys too low that the river can't lift you and continue to flow. I don't care how low you get, if you go to the river inside of you, out of your innermost being shall flow rivers. It'll flow rivers of living water. And there are no valleys too low that the river can't lift you and continue to flow, and there are no mountains that are too high that the river can't lift you as high as the sky. We were talking about God's a mountain mover and so on and so forth. He said, don't bother me. Just get in the river. It'll lift you above the mountain. I don't have to remove the mountain. You keep calling me to remove the mountain. Get in the river. It'll take you right up and over the mountain, and away you'll go. It'll work for you instead of against you, is what the Lord's been showing me. Everything that's going on in our life, good, bad, or indifferent, he says, make it work for you, son. Make it work for you. Don't focus on it and bring you down into this ugly, dark valley of death. Although we all get there. I'm not that spiritual. I'm just up here delivering a message. I'm a messenger boy, plain and simple. I'm a messenger boy from Jesus Christ, no more, no less. Trust me, not that spiritual. So it says, so keep your focus on the river within, Christ in you, the hope of glory. Not Christ outside of you. Jesus isn't, God is now on some planet 6,000 miles east of Mars. If you're seeing him out there, you better check to see if you're in the faith. I think that's what Paul meant when he said, check to see if you're in the faith. If you're flowing in the river of faith, check it out. Because he said, you know, the Antichrist spirit, which is even here now, they're simply people that claim that Jesus didn't come in the flesh. Well, he has come in the flesh. He has come in the flesh. He's come in my flesh. He's speaking out of me right now, I believe, with all my heart, to you. He is come in the flesh. And he's going to continue to come in you. And then there's going to be a full manifestation of him coming out of you one of these days. The river flows. Then the other river gushes. And as I was sitting there, he said, there's another river called a tsunami. And there's a tsunami coming, son. I'm raising up a people in this generation that are going to be a tsunami of my spirit. I had a brother a couple of years ago that called me and he said, I got a dream from the Lord, Brother Jim. He said, I know it's of God. I know it is. And he says, but I can't get the sermon on. He said, God showed me this great wall of water. Great wall of water coming in like a tsunami. And it just went into the city and it just picked up all the cars and tore up the houses and just took it all out to sea. And he says, I really feel like the Lord's, I'm going to go out and buy some food. I mean, it was that real to him. So I'm going to get some food. And he says, no, I'm not into that prepper stuff. But he said, man, this dream was, wow, it really got to me. He said, if you get anything, if the Lord gives you anything on that, let me know. Well, I prayed about it, and I didn't get anything. And then the river started flowing in me 2 years later, 3 days ago. And he said, I want to talk to you about that brother's dream, and I want you to call him. And so I called him. I thought he was going to break down in tears. He was a minister. I thought he was going to break down in tears. He said, oh, my God, that's the interpretation. That's it. And he said, but I didn't need it until today. You could have given that word to me, Brother Jim, 2 years ago. Wouldn't have meant much to me. But today it means everything to me. And I told him basically what God was saying was, first off, the Lord was saying, stop trying to interpret the dream through your carnal mind. There's nothing carnal about this dream. It's all spiritual. God deals with our spirit. And what God was saying, that there's refuge that he's been trying to remove from this brother's life. And he said, a big river is going to come. A big tsunami of my spirit is going to come into your city. And it's going to pick up all the old debris, all the cars and the houses and the lands and the this, that, and the other, and it's going to get all washed out to sea. And then you're going to be ready for the ministry that I have prepared you for since the day you were born. And that's what it was. Back to the river. I saw water pouring out from under the temple door. The water was gushing from under the temple. And he said to me, "Son, have you had a good look?" Man, that stopped me dead in my tracks, Oscar. He said, "This water's coming out from under the door. We know where the door is. The door is in us." Jesus said, "I'm the door, and it's Christ in me. That's my hope." And then God said to Ezekiel, "Son, have you had a good look?" That's what God wants his people to do today. He wants them to look and live. Look. Turn your attention. Turn your soul off of the worldly crap that we're into. And spend that. My word was crap. It wasn't his. I know. But he just wants you to, you know, spend some time with me. He's not saying go back in your room and pray for 2 hours. I tried that. It liked to kill me. I can't do that. But I found out that really all God is saying is just come back, redeem some of the time that you've got, or maybe you're free. Even if it's 5 minutes, just come back and sit down and say, "Lord, I want to know you. I want to know you. I want to take a look at the temple." Hallelujah. I want to take a look at the temple. He's the temple. And when we look at him, we start realizing that the temple's in me. Praise God. As I am. As I am, so are you in this earth. We don't understand nor have the full manifestation of that, but it's breaking on us. It's like we talked about in Sunday school. Rich doing a nice job. Like we're talking about in Sunday school. It's like an onion. You've all heard preachers minister on that. It's like an onion. Just keeps peeling it off. As you look to him, another layer of the crap and the rubble and the worry, it starts peeling it off from your soul. And you start walking in a brighter and a brighter day. Your soul starts sensing that, oh my goodness, there's something awesome going on here. There's some glory in this temple that I never even knew about because I was so focused on everything out there, I never took a good look at what's going on in here. And that's what God wants me to encourage you. And it says in Ezekiel 47, says, "And wherever the river flowed," hear me now, because the river's in you, "wherever the river flows, it brings life. It brings health, it brings peace, because the river is turning the salt water in you into fresh water." Was it James that said, bitter water and sweet water shouldn't come out of the same fountain? We're all guilty of it. I'm not sitting up here setting myself up for sure. All you have to do is spend 15 minutes with me, and you'll probably hear a little mixture of both. You hear the good stuff, and you also hear a little bit of negative stuff. So wherever the water flows, it turned the salt water. You know, salt's bitter. We got a salt water pool. You don't want to swallow any of that water, I'll tell you. And it turns the salt water into fresh water. And wherever the river flows, hear me now, life abounds. Life abounds where the river flows. But God did speak to Ezekiel, and he says, "But the swamps and the marsh places, they won't become fresh because there's no flow of the river through them." The river came to them, but they never turned. They never came to him. He came to them, but they didn't come to him. He gave us the grace. He gave us the power. He gave us the faith. He gave us the gifts. He gave us all the equipment that we need to walk and live an abundant life. But we think it's out here. And that's okay. I mean, God wants you to enjoy life. Don't misunderstand me. I'm not getting real religious on you and tell you to run out and women wear long dresses and men get their hair cut. That isn't what this is all about. God wants you to enjoy life. If you work and you prosper, praise God, enjoy it. How many times have I seen God from my condo down in Florida, looking out onto the ocean? I wasn't standing out there saying, look at my kingdom, what I have built. I was looking out there saying, wow, God. The Holy Spirit was saying, son, do you see the waters can only go so far? And my power holds it all back. My power holds it all back. And that's the way it is in our life. God is only going to allow you to be challenged with what you can handle, and he will make a way of escape for you. But he wants you to get the gold out of the challenge. See, there's a nugget in all these things. God really, the Holy Spirit's really been emphasizing, make it work for you instead of making it work against you. Stay focused on me in the midst of this trial. Stay focused on me in the midst of this fiery furnace. Why do you think we were lowered here in the first place? We came from heaven. We were put in these human bodies. We were lowered down here to be perfected, to be molded, whatever. And like Paul says, the sufferings of this present age are not to be compared to the glory which shall be revealed in you. I know we go through suffering. All of us go through suffering. The people in Indian Hill go through suffering. The people in Over the Rhine go through suffering. They're not going to escape it. Challenges, etc. But there's a divine purpose, an eternal purpose that's working in it all. And then I'll end the Ezekiel thing with, and this really hit me, Oscar, Ezekiel 45, where he says, and when I give you the land as your inheritance, oh God, you must set aside a part of the land for a sacred or a secret place for me. Wow. You know, I never saw that before. The Old Testament, just really the signs, the symbols. When the Holy Spirit anoints that stuff, oh my God, it just jumps right off the page at you. But if you just look at it, you know, and think, okay, so they had to build an altar, they had to build a sacred place, that's cool, all right, let's get on. No, the Lord says, stop and meditate on that. I want my people, when I save them, they've entered into the promised land. All my promises are yea and amen. I don't back off on my promises. If I make a promise, you can take it to the bank. But I need for you to spend some time. The first thing you need to do when I save you is set up some time aside for me to get to know me. Unfortunate, or fortunate, good and bad, we run off into a church building. Instead of establishing a relationship with Jesus Christ inside of me, I go into a church house. And we need fellowship. Don't misunderstand me. But then all this doctrine gets poured into our ears. And much of it, if not much of it, I'll leave it at that, is false doctrine. Many of them are well-intended, precious men of God. Don't misunderstand me. But it's junk. And unless you get to know the Holy Ghost inside of you, he is the only one that can lead you and guide you into this spirit land. You know, you can plop down in some church house somewhere for 30, 40 years and die and never know the Lord. You're saved. Don't misunderstand me. You're saved. But do you know him? I remember we went on a boat cruise, Oscar, with Des Walters from Australia. And I happened to walk out on deck, and Des was out there alone. And we got to talking. And Des says, I want you to remember one thing, son. This goes back 30 years or a long time ago when he came to Wings. He said, when you pass out of this life, you stand before the Father. He said, the Father's going to say, how much of my son is formed in you? How much of my son is formed in you? He doesn't care the good deeds you've done. Jesus did the ultimate good deed. Yes. Father wants those deeds to flow out of the Christ in you. You can sell all the Girl Scout cookies you want, and that's okay. I'm certainly not knocking that. But we want God works, not good works.
Yes.
There's the difference.
Yes.
And we won't get there, but it's the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Well, I'm doing a lot of good works. I must be in God's favor today. I got news for you. You've always been in God's favor. You don't have to work to be accepted in the Lord. You are accepted. You are the beloved of the Lord. When He sees you, He sees perfection. You are complete in Him, the Bible says. You're complete. You just have to look at the temple inside of you. And when you start seeing Him, you'll start realizing who you are. Oh my goodness. That is the promised land, that I can walk and share the glory of God. Wow. I'm going to give them the glory, Father, that you have given me. Wow. All right, and in conclusion, then the Lord showed me the lady at the well. He said it starts out as a well. That's how you get saved. You have to ask. Jesus said, if you'd ask of me water, I'll give you living waters. There'll be a river that'll come flowing out of you. And He always increases it, though. You know, Jesus went from the well, He went to a pool, He went to a lake, He went to a sea, He went to the ocean. I mean, everything just increases, increases, increases. It should be increasing in our life. If you met Jesus at the well, and He said, I'll give you a drink, and you drink that water, what happened to the lady at the well who had five husbands? He didn't care. He didn't care if she had 55 husbands. Because He knew in His mind the plan from the beginning, or before the beginning. He knew that He was come to redeem all of humanity, all of flesh. I died for the sins of the world, not just the sins of the Christians, but the sins of the world. And the lady at the well, when she took that first drink, what did she do? She went out running downtown telling everybody, oh my God, I met somebody very special. And then they came back with her, and they listened to His words. They listened to the rivers that were flowing out of Him from His Father, from the throne of God, flowing out of Eden. And they heard those words, and they said, we believe now, because we've seen Him for ourselves. Now, I heard from you, and it was a testimony that wetted my lips, but He gave me the drink of water. He got those streams flowing in me. And only He can do that when you turn to Him. All right. Well, in conclusion, got some scriptures here. I want to read to you. Philippians. I think this is chapter 4 or somewhere in there. Paul's speaking to the Philippian church, and he says, celebrate God all day.
All right.
Every day.
All right.
Celebrate God all day, every day. He says, I mean revel in Him. Make it as clear as you can to all that you meet, and work with them and not against them, and help them, and help them see the Master. Help them to see that the Master is about to arrive. He could show up any minute. Don't fret or worry. Instead of worrying, pray, and let your petitions and your praises shape your worries into prayers. See, Paul's showing them how they can make these things work for them instead of against them. He's saying, don't fret and worry. Obviously, he knew that they had challenges, they had problems. He says, don't worry, but instead of worrying, let petitions, or let this mind be in you. Let the Christ mind be in you. Don't focus on your worries, on your checkbook, on your health issues. I don't care if the doctor does give you a diagnosis of cancer. I don't care. It's a mountain. Yes, it's a mountain. There's no question about it. But Jesus said, go to the rivers. Go to the rivers. Because that river can take you right up over that mountain. And you could soar. So don't worry. Instead of worrying, let your petitions and praises shape your worries into prayers, letting God know your concerns. Before you know it, a sense of God's wholeness, everything coming together for good, will come and settle down in you. It's wonderful what happens when Christ displaces worry at the center of your life. But it takes Him to do it. You can battle in your mind all day long, all month long, all year long, for decades, and it's not going to do anything but take its toll in your body. That old arthritis is going to come in there and start eating you up. Whatever. Friends, summing it all up, friends, I say you'll do best by lifting your minds and meditating on things that are true and noble, authentic and gracious. The best things, not the worst, the beautiful, not the ugly. Things to praise, not things to curse. Put into practice what you learned from me. And here's where Paul says, put into practice what you've learned from me, you've heard from me, and you saw in me. Wow. Wow. Do that, and God, who makes everything work together for your good, will work you into His most excellent harmonies. Isn't that beautiful? I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. He didn't say you could do most things. He said you can do all things through Christ. Amen? Father, we thank you, Lord, for this word. Father, you said, when you prayed, Lord, you said, give us this day our daily bread. You didn't say, give me the bread that the apostles talked about 2,000 years ago. I mean, that's good. It was for them. We see how you operated in their life. But Lord, we need our daily bread. Not something that happened 4,000 years ago. That's good. But all that does is just lead me to you. The great things you've done, the miracle working power, and you can do those same things in me today. So give us our daily bread today, Father, so that we can manifest your nature, that we can magnify you and glorify you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Praise the Lord. You are free to get up and run.